kids, if, whoa, it's loud for me. Kids, if you are keen to go and do some amazing colouring and worksheets, you're welcome to go back and grab from the back corner over there worksheets. There's folders, there's pens and all that kind of stuff. Please go and do that. That would be great. Obviously, a whole bunch of you already got that. That's good. This Christmas season, we're looking at a kind of Christmas through the eyes of, and we're looking at a number of different Bible characters that we're going to be kind of having their view of how they saw Christmas, what they went through. And so today we're going to be looking at Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. Now, Joseph as a Christmas kind of character is someone who I think that it gets a bit of a bum deal when it comes to Christmas. I mean, Mary seems to get a lot of cred, right? Like year round, Catholics especially, they love Mary. They seem to pray to Mary a lot. She gets statues and she gets pictures, but I'm yet to hear about someone praying to Joseph, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm not Catholics. So I don't really. You can correct me, but I've never seen a picture of Joseph looking holy with a halo above his head, you know, or a picture of Joseph, you know, robed beautifully, you know, standing at the front of a church. Maybe it was because Joseph wasn't particularly attractive. I don't know. But Joseph doesn't seem to get a lot of cred in our churches. And then when you look at the Christmas kind of season, this Advent season, Joseph doesn't seem to get a lot of cred either. I mean, in songs, you think about the Christmas songs that have Joseph in them compared to the amount that have Mary. There are a lot with Mary and not so many with Joseph. And I was just thinking about that this week. It's like, I remember when I was, you know, growing up through my teenage years, there was a song that used to go something like this. Long time ago in Bethlehem. Do you know this one? Okay, let's sing on. Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible says, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Now, I used to think, wow, isn't God amazing? God organized Christmas in such, or Jesus' birth in such a way that it landed on Christmas Day. Man, God's amazing. He just, you know, Santa, the reindeers, the tree, that was already set up. But then God, you know, impregnated Mary, and then there was a whole 9-month thing, and then, wow, right on Christmas Day. What a miracle, huh? And then I learned, actually, other way around, Christmas Day. So that song may be a little bit wrong, but, you know, long time ago in Bethlehem, the Holy Bible says that Mary's boy child, why wasn't it Mary and Joseph's boy child? Maybe that was a little bit difficult to get into it. Maybe technically Joseph wasn't the father. So okay, so I get that one's a bit difficult. There was another song as a young adult in church. There was always a solo that someone used to sing. You might know this one. It goes, Mary, did you know that your baby boy... Do you know that one? And it tells this great story of Mary, kind of like, did you know that Jesus would actually end up being the Son of God, would die on a cross, all this kind of stuff. It's great. Why didn't we wonder about Joseph? Why aren't we saying, Joseph, did you know that your baby boy was going to go through all that? We don't think about Joseph so much. He's kind of left out a lot at Christmas. So I thought today it would be a good idea to kind of bring in, to talk about Joseph a little bit and help us to understand this kind of forgotten Christmas character. I mean, sure, he gets placed up in silhouettes when you're looking at, you know, Mary, Joseph, and a manger, but we don't often get to hear about what Joseph had to go through coming up into Christmas. So today we're going to look at Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 begins like this. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot to unpack in just this one verse. And a big part to unpack is understanding what it means when it says that Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, in their time, in their day, 2,000 years ago in Israel, there was kind of three stages to marriage. The first stage was when probably Mary and Joseph were children. their mum and dad would get together, the two sets of parents would get together, and they would kind of hash out a deal, and they would organize this marriage. They would organize for their children one day when they grow up that they'd be married. That was kind of the thing that they did. That first commitment that was made in marriage was when they were both children. The parents would kind of get together. Who here would love their parents to organize for them someone to marry? Who would have been very happy to have their parents? No one. Great. Okay, great. We've got one. What parents here think that you would be pretty good at organizing a partner for your children one day? A lot more power. Okay, there's a few hands that go up there, right? Yeah. I think so too. I think I'd be very good at finding a suitable partner for my children. My children disagree, I've asked them. But isn't it interesting that back in that day, that was how it was done. The parents would get together and would kind of be, your daughter, my son, what do you think? I don't know how it would have all been organized at the start, but, you know, they would meet together and they would come up, they would hash out an agreement. And then money would change hands. And so the groom, the boy's parents, would pay the bride's parents. Kind of like how we do lay-by, I was thinking. Maybe that's not a good example. But, you know, so a bit of down payment would be given. And the idea was that down payment would say, we're making this agreement and we're putting some money down on the table. The idea was that would kind of link them together. So it wouldn't be that the bride or the groom's parents would then go off and try to find a better deal. You know, that would be awkward, wouldn't it? And so that would lock them in. Money would have changed hands. This is like it's a done deal. And the idea too was, if by chance the groom's parents pulled out, well, the bride's parents would have that money that would help their family for a time. And so that was kind of the contract that was made. But then would come the time where the children would grow up. Wouldn't it be weird to see someone when you're 5 years old and be like, oh, they're going to get married someday. Like parents do that, right? Oh, wouldn't, you know, the boy and the girl, they're playing nicely in the park. Oh, wouldn't it be fun if they got married? Which is the parents saying, we would love to be like parents-in-law. How cool would that be? And the kids are playing. Wouldn't it be funny if actually that was going to happen and they were actually going to get married? Slightly weird. But we look at it and go, wow, that's weird. But in many parts of our world today, that's still the reality. Our parents organize the marriage of their children. And so for us, it might be, oh, that's a bit different. But for other parts of the world, and 2,000 years ago in Israel, that was the norm. No one questioned it. And so Mary and Joseph, these two young kids playing in the park while their parents are organizing their marriage day the rest of their lives. Love it as parents. And so as they grew up, it was likely that Mary was between 13, 14, 15 years old. Joseph was likely older. Oftentimes the male in the relationship was older, so they'd be able to work for a few years first and get a bit of money together and a house and that. So perhaps when Mary was 13, 14, 15, perhaps Joseph, an older teenager, they went to the priest and they officially were pledged to be married. They kind of signed documents similar to our engagement, but this was a time period. It started a one-year period of their kind of betrothal where they would organize their wedding day, they would organize everything. And if you wanted to break that, you actually had to go before a judge and get a divorce. So it was quite a serious thing, this period of betrothal when Mary would pledge herself to Joseph. Oftentimes they would actually meet at that time and get to know each other through that year. And it was a year because it takes 9 months to have a baby, and so if the female was pregnant in that time, it would obviously become very apparent. And so you had a year to make sure, oh yep, we're all legit, it's all okay. And then at the end of that, the wedding ceremony. So that's what when it says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. So this is in the middle time we're talking about here. In the middle of this year, it says, Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, if you turn over to Luke chapter 1, you hear about Mary's side of the story. This is what happened to Mary. She was visited by an angel, and the angel told her, Mary, you're going to have a baby. It's going to be God's son. It's a miracle. It's amazing. She was so excited. It says in verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Mary, we don't know this for sure exactly what the timeline is, but it seems as though through the book of Luke that Mary, after hearing this news, she was so maybe excited, or perhaps as a 13-year-old, she was so panicked that she ran off and saw her cousin Elizabeth, saw her aunt Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, if you read through Luke chapter 1, was also pregnant. She was pregnant with someone. Oh, can't remember. Who would Elizabeth's baby be? Does anyone know? His name was John, that's right. And John would be a Baptist. Yeah, John's great. We love John because he's a Baptist like us. Now, John baptized people, and so he was called John the Baptist. And so John was kind of like the guy that prepared people, got people ready to then meet Jesus. And so it was amazing. It was a miracle as well how he was born and everything. And so Mary went and spent 3 months with Elizabeth, and then came back to her hometown. And you can imagine what happened then when she's just starting, maybe not visibly pregnant, but you know, 3 months had passed, the shock and everything had abated, and so she came back, and Joseph has only heard, oh, Mary had to rush off to see a pregnant aunt, and so, you know, that was all okay. And he didn't really get that when she came back, she said, Joseph, I need to tell you something. Something amazing, exciting has happened. God came to me via an angel and said, I'm going to be pregnant with the Son of God. And I'm 3 months pregnant. Isn't this exciting? And Joseph, because he was a godly man, because he was looked in the Bible, he knew that God was going to come in a weird, different kind of way. He went, wow, that's fantastic, Mary. High five. This is so great. No, he didn't. We go and we read in Matthew, going from chapter 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I wonder why he did this. Joseph, we probably know his profession. Anyone know what Joseph was? What was his profession? Carpenter. Right, so we read that Jesus was known as being the son of a carpenter, or the Greek word that's used is tekton. It just means someone who was doing technical work, like building work. In that part of the world, there is probably more rocks than there were trees, if you've ever seen photos of the area of Palestine. So likely he was a stonemason who did work with wood as well, but that was it was a hands-on kind of tradie. And so you imagine what Joseph going to work and explaining this to his mates, how it would have gone. Oh, my betrothed, Mary, told me yesterday she's pregnant. Half of his mates would have said, whoa, man, oh, Joseph, whoa, you know. And he's like, what's not my baby? And they're like, yeah, sure. The other half would have been like, get rid of her. You don't want that. If she's got pregnant, it's not your baby. You don't want anything to do with her. And so what is Joseph to do? Well, he had a few different options open to him. One was he could have gotten rid of her. He could have said to everyone, hey, Mary's got pregnant. It wasn't me. It's obviously someone else. She's horrible. And in the Old Testament, really, the rules were that meant that Mary could have been killed for that. Thankfully, at that time, they were being ruled by the Romans, and so they didn't have the right to take anyone's life, the Jewish priests, the authorities of the Jewish people. And so he could have, though, publicly shamed her, and that she would have been disgraced for the rest of her life. That could have been one pathway, because for the Jewish people, they believed in this God who said that sexual intimacy should only happen within the bounds of a full marriage, nothing else. And it's the same God we believe in today, right? So God's still pro sexual purity and all that kind of stuff. He still holds that in really high regard. And so here Joseph could have rightly said, here she is, Mary, she's clearly done the wrong thing, it's not my kid, and she would have been publicly disgraced. The other thing he could have done, he could have said, right, Mary, I'm going to, let's just keep this hush. Let's go and get married tomorrow. You know, maybe, hopefully, you'll go a few weeks overdue. We'll just tell everyone it came early and, you know, we'll kind of try to fudge it and we'll just be married and we'll work through this. But that would have shown his shame. That would have shown that he accepted that she'd done the wrong thing, and so he kind of grappled and didn't want to do that. And so instead, he took the middle road. It says, but after he considered this, he said he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So Joseph chose a middle route. He was faithful to the law, which means he believed in God, he trusted in God fully, he wanted to honor God with the things that he did, but he realized something's fishy here, something's going on that's not right. So he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, so he just had in mind to divorce her quietly. To just go, and in their day they would have had to have taken two witnesses that agreed with that she was pregnant, it wasn't his child, go to the courts and have the marriage annulled. And so that could have been, that was the path he wanted to take. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. Now, I don't know if you guys remember much about your dreams. I'm a not remembering person in my dreams. Psychologists would probably call me something. But my family, you know, my wife, she's amazing. She remembers huge amounts of her dreams. My kids, they could write books on what they remember. Their dreams are so amazingly vivid. I don't know if you're great at dreaming or not great at dreaming, and I don't know any of the psychology of all of that kind of stuff. All I know is Joseph must have remembered this dream incredibly well, because not only did it change his life, he also wrote it down so that we could know what happened in his dream. And in his dream, the angel came to him and said, Joseph, son of David. Now, if you read just a few verses up, there's a genealogy, a family tree, a history of Joseph's family line. And the one thing that's so clear is that Joseph's father wasn't David. So this proves the Bible's wrong. And we can throw it all out because it must be rubbish. And here it is, black and white. Up here it says that his father was Jacob. Down a few verses, the angel said, hey, son of David. Oh, it's clearly wrong. But wait a minute. Actually, what the angel was referring to was something much bigger. Because in this same family tree, we read that Joseph came from the family line of an incredibly important king in Israel's history, whose name was David. So when the angel says, Joseph, son of David, what he really was meaning for our minds is Joseph, great, 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 grandson of David. And that would have made Joseph's mind think, oh, he's calling back on that history of our past. He's actually calling on a promise that God gave to King David that we read in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where he says that there will come from you a king from your line who will be live forever. His reign will be forever, an eternal reign. And so with that in mind, the angel comes and says to Joseph, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The Lord said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And so Joseph, we see this guy who had calculated and thought through things in his mind of what practically must have happened. Then, when an angel of God came, he immediately changed things. It says that he went straight away. He went to the priest and he said, "We want to get married." And the priest's like, "Yeah, but it's only been like 4 months till you've still got, you know, 6 months to go, or, you know, 8 months to go." And Joseph said, no, "We're getting married today. We're sorting this thing out right now." And the priest probably went, "Right," looking at Mary with loosely fitting clothes, like everyone wore back then, right? Everyone, every picture is like loosely fitting clothes. So he's like, "I know what's happening here. Right, okay, let's get you married. Do you take you? And they got married. And Joseph took Mary home as his wife. Even though that may have meant people kind of went, "Yeah, right, Joseph, short engagement. We know what that means." Even though it meant people may have looked at him differently, he knew that through his relationship with God, what was better, what was the right thing to do, the path he needed to take. And I thought, in light of looking at Joseph, looking at his character, that he was a righteous man, he was a right and a just man. He believed what God said, he read the Bible, he read his law, he understood it, and he wanted to uphold that in every part of his life. But also, the way he interpreted that was not to harm Mary, but to try to lift her up and give her dignity in some way. We see these great characteristics in Joseph as a solid foundation of faith, but then the wisdom to be able to live out that faith in a loving and gracious way. And I was thinking about the things that happen in our lives when things happen, when things come along and life changes in an instant. Whether it's a death in the family, or perhaps an illness that you find out about, or maybe a divorce, something happens to the one that you love. Maybe they leave for health reasons or for other reasons. Perhaps an inheritance comes into your life. But perhaps you get a raise, a promotion, an opportunity comes your way. Perhaps it's a great thing that happens to you. You go on a date, you meet that special someone. Whenever we have these life-changing moments in our lives, it's how our foundations are and how wise we are to act within them will really play out how they work out, the outcome. The outcome to these big things in our life don't happen when the decision is made, when the doctor reads out a report, or when the accident happens, or the outcomes actually happen way before it, in every step that we take to lead us to that time. Because for Joseph, if he hadn't have read his Bible faithfully to understand what it was to be righteous and just, then when the event happened in his life, he would have handled it in a very different way. You see, it's not the moments in our life that are the huge things. It's how we lead up to the moments. It's how we go in preparing ourselves. It's how we read God's Word regularly. So we have such a diet of God's Word that when tragedy strikes or when great things happen, we know how to deal with them because we've already got God's Word planted in our heart. It's the relationships we have amongst other people who love Jesus and are like-minded and who we can rely and lean upon in the tough times and in the good times that we develop now that mean when the event happens, when the big thing happens, we're stable, we've got other people around us to be able to lean upon. It's the relationships, it's the things we spend our time on, our energy. It's where we use our talents, whether we hold it all and make everything about us or if we're generous with what we have. All of these little things that we do lead up and make the biggest impact when the big things come. And for Joseph, you look at what happens next. He's got this pregnant wife. They're just starting out this life. He knows that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. It's amazing. And then they hear an edict that comes through from these Romans who they don't really like but are ruling over them. These Romans tell them that they've got to go back to their place of birth, of their family line. They've got to go back. He, Joseph, has to go back to Bethlehem. And you can imagine at that time, what, man, my wife's pregnant. I've got to get from Nazareth in the north of the country down to Bethlehem. That's going to take days of journey. That's going to be hard on her. It's going to mean that I can't work for those times. Oh, this is a huge inconvenience. Why is this happening, God? And if Joseph didn't have the foundations to deal with it, that could have been a faith changer. You know, God, why are you doing this to me? They get into Bethlehem, and we all know what happens, you know? Like, they go knock on doors, and there's no room left for them. I mean, God had been planning this for thousands of years. Let's not miss this in the midst, you know? Like here's Joseph. He's like, God, give me a break here. Come on, at least 4 stars, you know? Like a 4-star hotel, something really nice, clean sheets at least. And he gets a manger and hay and animal poop and all that kind of stuff. What is that about? He could have just blown up and said, come on, God, give us something here. You're better than that, God. You know, I want you to give me more. But instead, he moves through. And then Herod, the king of that region, finds out there's another king that's been born. And he decides to go and wipe out all of the children in that kind of region of Bethlehem to try to make sure he wipes out Jesus. And Mary and Joseph hear about this. They flee. They go to another country and live as refugees for a few years, and then they come back to their original place up in Nazareth, and when they go back, the people there all know, oh, short engagement, yep, that's what, and Jesus even questioned about his father later on in his life, the questionable happenings of Mary's conception and the birth. And all this happens, and you look at this guy Joseph, who we don't know much about, but we look back and we see the character of the man. And oftentimes we think about God being so wise and amazing that he chose Mary. And Mary does need to be, you know, lifted up and said, wow, she was an amazing woman of faith. She wrote this amazing poem, a song of praise to God after finding out that she was going to be the mother of God. She wrote this great poem. It seems as though she stuck by Jesus through his life. There were so many positives that we can say about the character of Mary. But then Joseph also had this great character. God didn't just choose one parent for his son. He chose two. We see in Joseph's character, a man of great faith and understanding and wisdom who was able to bring Jesus up and teach him in so many different ways how he became the man that he was. And one of the key things that we often miss because we're Westerners and we don't really get this as much, but in their day, it was the right, the privilege really of the father to name the son or name the children. That was their right that they would do that. In our Western culture, oftentimes we talk together, you know, go through a book or, you know, family tree, whatever we do, and we come up with our children's name together. But for them, it was really the right of the man, the husband, to come up with the name for their child. And God, the real father, gave this name to Joseph. But it's important to know that Joseph was given the role. He was given the honor to then bestow the name upon Jesus, the name that will be above every other name, the name that we call out to and cry out to in our times of need, the name we pray to in Jesus' name. We speak this name so much. It's important to note that Joseph was given incredible honor that he would call his son Jesus. He would be the first one to call out that name and say, that is your name because you are the one who came to save. You are the Emmanuel, the God who is with us. I think Joseph had great character, and it came through years of preparation. It wasn't given to him miraculously. And in the same way, as we come into this busy Christmas season where there's so much happening and so many pressures on us to go different ways and do different things, I think it's a great reminder to look at the life of Joseph and say, wow, he was a guy of great character because he built on that character through his life. It didn't just happen to him when he came to these big experiences. And so too, we need to build on our character so that we grow into the people that God sees and says, wow, I can use them now for what I've always wanted to use them because they've grown to this point. God will use you in so many ways, don't get me wrong, but God wants to use us for more, but oftentimes he's waiting for our character to build to just the right place where we're able to take these big changes in our life. And that's where Joseph had come to. That's why God picked him. And that's where we need to come to as well. So may we remember Joseph this Christmas and understand the kind of character that God wants to build in us so we're the kind of people he can use for his glory. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful that you chose both Mary and Joseph as examples for us to be able to look at their lives and to see a better way to live. Lord, I just lift up to you understanding of Joseph and pray that you'd help us to see what areas of our lives we need to shift so that we're more in line with where you want us to be. I pray, Lord, especially coming into Christmas, you'd help our characters to be such that with the pressures that come upon us, with family members perhaps that we have to deal with situations that we have to work through with kids on holidays and different work requirements, with the busyness that some have of being in retail and having to rush to finish things. Lord, we pray that you would develop our character to such a point where we would not forget you in the midst of this time, where actually we'd lift you up and be speaking more about you, where we'd be able to fall back on what we've been prepared in our hearts so that when difficult times come and when great times come, you'd help us to praise you through it all and lean and trust in you through it all. Lord, it's so exciting to see what you did 2,000 years ago. And it's so exciting to see that you're still alive and well, you're still moving in our hearts today. So grow us and change us and develop us in our hearts, we pray. In your name, Jesus, your mighty name, we ask. Amen.